And welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live from our studios, which are found here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to welcome you to today's Thursday Grace Hour broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you'll stay with us for the next 45 minutes or so. We're going to be talking today about parenting with grace and truth. And I think all week long you've been hearing many of the messages focusing on godly parenting and what's involved and its challenges, its ups and downs. And hopefully you've been able to come away with some truths and some principles that you can use in your parenting skills as well. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining us in the studio today, Pastor Tom Schaller, the pastor here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore. And again, our theme and subject today will be parenting with grace and truth. Quick reminder to our listeners, the phone lines will be open. If you'd like to join us, you can pick up a phone and dial one of these numbers and share your thoughts. You may have some experience in terms of parenting, or you may be a new parent yourself, and you may have a question or two that you'd like to pose to us here at the Grace Hour. We'd be happy to take your call. Pick up the phone, dial one of these numbers, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free, and you can dial that number on all of North America. And locally, if you're in the greater Baltimore area, pick up the phone, dial 410-483-3700, and we'd be happy to take your calls live right here in the Grace Hour. And as we've been stating throughout the week, we are certainly not experts on parenting, and we've all had our various tests, trials, defeats, and victories in this particular area. But one thing that we certainly can't go wrong in relationship to parenting is when we reveal to our children the importance of grace and truth, and the grace that makes a difference and has made a difference in our lives and, of course, can make a difference in their lives as well. So that's going to be our theme today. And again, we hope you'll weigh in, share your thoughts with us. The chat's available as well. If you'd like to share a comment that way or ask a question, please feel free to do so. But Pastor Schaller, this is, anyone that's has children or has had children, these truths are fundamental, they're invaluable, they're so important. And I love the fact that we're talking about understanding grace as far as parenting is concerned and introducing our children to grace, because in much the same way that grace shocked and surprised us when we first heard about it, it must have the same impact upon children as well when they hear it for the first time, that they can be forgiven, that they can put their failures, their mistakes behind them. They can get back on their feet again. You can have a new start. You can have a new beginning. I mean, for us to hear that as believers was just so profound that it made a deep impact on our lives. But it also didn't lead us into a life of licentiousness in the sense that we could just do anything we wanted because grace was going to be available as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot to learn about this theme and subject.
Yes, and I would kind of like to back off a little bit and just think about our audience. There's a broad spectrum of people listening, I think, and even raising children that believe in God. We have a modern society where God is not at the center. And so for a family to bring God into the center of the family, that's the way we were brought up and the way we counsel people to raise a family. We're talking about grace and law. Well, I'm like more talking about faith itself, like, do the children believe? And because they grow up in a family that is believing, then is it being transferred to them? Are they embracing it? And then what kind of God is it that they are worshiping? Who is God? And of course, the parents have the challenge of ministering the reality of Christ in the family. Yeah, and who is Christ? Well, he's grace and truth. I don't know that we, children need the exposure of a ministry of truth to them. Who is God? He's the God of truth, and he cannot lie. Where do they learn these things in the church and from the parents? So, you work with young people and know that there's a big challenge when they are brought up in a secular society, when they go to public school, when they have friends that never talk about God or relate to God in any significant way. So, we got a wide audience when we're talking about this.
Yeah, we sure do. But I love that thought. You know, what kind of a God will they get to know? And I think that falls on the shoulders of parents.
Yes.
Because the God that they come to know from us is the God that they may carry through their lives.
Yeah.
And have a relationship with. And God forbid that we would present a God who is not the God of the Bible.
Yeah. Like we could err in two directions. One is God is too tough. God is like a policeman or a judge. And then God is too soft. He's like a sentimental wimp, with no fiber, no truth. So, like, we err the why do I say that we can err these away? Because we do. Because we can err and be too angry, too forceful in how we handle relationships and be tyrannical. And the other one is, he doesn't really mean much because he doesn't do much. And he's the old man in the sky. Yeah, he's the one that's overlooking and not doing anything. So who is God? And that's where when young people find God, like in the youth ministry, which you are the leader of, then when they find God, how does it affect them? And what does that mean? Maybe you could share something about that.
Yeah, and that's always been a challenge, and it's always been in the forefront of my mind because when they're at that age, they may be young children or adolescents or teenagers, but those are the formidable years. That's when their mindset is almost established, and what they get and what they come to understand about God and how he deals with people is so critical. It's so important because it's what they could carry through in the rest of their lives. And if they come in contact with a God that is too forceful, you either abide by all the rules, and if you don't, well, then, you're going to find yourself outside his favor, as opposed to a God who is merciful. He cares. He understands. He knows that we have weaknesses, infirmities, we have our flesh to deal with, we have temptation to deal with, and, how can we best navigate our way through all of that?
Yeah.
And then you have, you want to present a compassionate, kind, forgiving God, because that way you have some hope as you face the future.
Yeah. So let's break it down. Parenting children, it has to do with setting boundaries and goals for the children. But when we say no to something, then why? Why do we say no? Like, well, the boundary is good to protect you. The boundary is good to keep you out of trouble. The boundaries are something you need to learn to live with in life. There are things you can do and cannot do. And when when God is the one that we relate to in life and we really look to him for the guidance, for setting boundaries and giving and being disciplined and thinking of right and wrong. I mean, what would you say, Pastor, if the idea of right and wrong is so blurred that that a child could say, you know, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know. Are we like tell me like what is right and wrong? Mm.
And I think to answer that, you have to start with God.
Yeah.
There is such a thing as righteousness, and God is righteous. And then God requires righteousness. And you have to start with that. Now, obviously, as we continue to reveal who God is and the nature and character of God, we have to say, but there's a flaw in us, and that is we are not righteous. But that does not mean that God has to compromise his righteous standard because we are not righteous.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way for him to make us righteous, and that's as you go back to that basic principle of faith. But then there's a practical way in which God is working in our lives to create a practical righteousness in our lives.
Okay.
So you don't just simply say, look, because you can never be righteous, just throw the towel in, give up, quit. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
No, we say God does require righteousness,
mm-hmm.
but how does he expect us to experience that righteousness if there's a flaw and an unrighteousness about us?
To give us grace.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when grace is introduced. And I can remember vividly, you know, in my youngest daughter, the first time, you know, talking about grace, there was a look of like surprise, like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? If I failed, I should be punished.
Yeah.
If I failed, I'm outside of your favor. There are consequences. And we're not suggesting that there are no consequences for bad behavior. That's a given. But now we're talking about a relationship here that God wants to establish with us. And that's when we start to introduce them to grace. And I wasn't surprised that she was surprised because I was just as surprised when I first heard about it.
Yeah.
In a good way.
It's very good.
But yet not, you know, and because grace comes with some powerful teaching, you come quickly to realize that you can't take advantage of this grace. You can't use it as a means of living any way you want. Don't worry about it. Grace will be there to take care of everything. So there's a real balance that you have to create when you're talking about the grace of God.
The second thing, like when we think of raising children, and of course there's a broad spectrum in that way too, that you have 5-year-old and 25-year-old, you know, like, so where they are at, what they're thinking, what their capacity is. But ultimately, we are looking at building warm and safe relationships with our children. And so what would you comment on that, Pastor Love?
I think that the balance there is that we're always going to be there to love them. I mean, when you had to discipline your children when they were younger, it always helped to say, you know, I love you. This is why I am disciplining you this way. And that just, it might not have been completely comprehended by their young minds at the time, but it was still necessary for us to maybe even preface it by saying, you know, this isn't, you're not going to like what the consequences are for the bad decisions, the poor decision making that you found yourself in, but I'm doing this because I care about you and I love you. And as you said earlier, there are boundaries. And you it's kind of like playing a football game. I mean, there are boundaries. Who's to say that because you step out of bounds that don't worry about it. Just, you know, run outside of the boundaries as much as you want. No problem. Move the goalpost. No problem. You can't live that way.
Right.
You just can't live that way.
Somehow in our culture, we watch a football game and we know the rules, and he stepped out of bounds or he dropped a pass or there was a fumble and a recovery, mm-hmm. and all the rules. And then when we turn around and live our lives, we feel like we don't have to understand any of that. We can interpret reality the way we want to.
Sure.
And that really contradicts common sense.
It does.
Yeah.
And sets young people up for failure in the future.
Yeah, you know, in politics, I'd like to hear that more often. Like, could we make commonsensical decisions? You know, could we just have common sense? And raising a family requires that.
Yeah.
Like children need safety, but they need sensibility or wisdom. They need to be corrected, and then they need grace. And yes, I think we could be wrong by embracing any extreme. But one extreme, which we really haven't clarified so much, is just that's ridiculous, you know. Mm-hmm. That's shameful, or you're out of your mind. Like, don't even think like that. Mm-hmm. Like, stop it, you know. Like, be firm with commonsensical judgments when children are imagining the word says that God's repented for making man because the thoughts of the imagination of his heart were evil consistently, continually, like his thoughts. Well, this will happen to our children, that they will have like thoughts in their hearts that are wrong. And like parenting, football coaching, teachers in math class, we can't put up with ridiculous, plain, direct, you know, stupid decisions, talking, and behaviors that need to be dealt with love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saw a big billboard coming down Route 83 from Pennsylvania to the Baltimore area, big bold billboard that just said, love is love. But can you really have love without truth?
Yeah, yeah.
You can't, can you?
No.
Because if you just say love is love, then that just means, you know, your young person comes home and says, you know, he's a young boy, mom, you know, I think I'd like to be a girl.
Yeah.
You know, love is love would say, well, of course, whatever you want, whatever your heart's desire is. Of course, you just know we'll love you. No, that question or that presentation to the young boy's parents needs to be, some common sense has to enter into that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
You know, and when you hear people use their common sense and use their sensibility about these issues today, it's kind of like a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Because you hear so much of the other, this moral relativism, relativism that just reeks of madness.
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up. And it's, I mean, I love hearing entertainers or musicians or people in our culture that just come out in a public forum and just say, you know, there's really only two genders,
yeah,
male and female. Okay.
Right.
And you're born either a male or a female, and that's the end of that.
Right.
And it's just kind of refreshing to hear that because, you know, this love is love business just doesn't make any sense.
No. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Another thing is in parenting is being a positive example, letting our children see us sacrifice wrongdoings to also not be angry, not live in self-pity, and do the right thing. So when our children see, oh, mom and dad are in a little bit of trouble, how do they handle it? And they're like mature adults, and maybe a single mom or a single dad who is raising children, he has a big challenge to be an example, and we want to encourage them. And of course, we our way of operating is having a local church that's very supportive of me, mm-hmm. and is reinforcing in my heart and in my mind what is true, and what is profitable, what is useful, what is sensible, what is wise, what is love, what is grace, and living like that. So being a good example, would you like to say something about that?
Yeah, Les? I think for a parent to admit to their children, oh, I'm sorry, I was wrong, to yeah. even say that has to be a great sense of relief for a young person, because most of the time they're hearing what you did was wrong. And yeah. that was inappropriate, and you should be sorry for that. But then to hear the parents say, you know, what I did was wrong, and I'm sorry, and I need your forgiveness. That kind of, I don't know, it just seems to set the table for a young person to say, you know, I thought it was just me. Mm. It's not just me. It seems like this is common to everybody.
Yeah.
And I think that there's hope there, and there's the potential for growth there. And if my parents can be wrong and they can admit it, then, yeah, maybe I can be wrong and I can admit it as well.
Very good. So, positive example, let's say admitting why I'm wrong when I'm wrong. Having focus in my life, direction, being proactive, communicating, just talking to your kids, reinforcing in them the good things. Telling them you're gonna be good. You're gonna make it in life. You're gonna have a good, you know. God probably will really be blessing your life, and you're going to do very well. You're going to do very well. Imagine you're 13 years old, and your mother, or your dad say, you know, you're gonna do very well. You're on a good road, and mom and dad, we're proud of you. We are behind you. We love you. We are for you. And the boundaries are important, and common sense, and like seeking God's mind and walking by faith, and teaching the 13-year-old how to pray, because mom and dad do it. And even reading your Bible, he sees you do it early morning, for example, or sharing a word while you're driving to school, or after a basketball game when you lost terribly, or you performed very poorly in the game in your mind, and like how do you process that? This is all teaching and training, and I think that if we can get it, you know, help our kids find the Lord and live in faith and see the meaning of it, it's going to help them in life.
Yeah, and what a blessing it is when they see our faith, you know, being worked out in a very practical way in our lives. That must send a wonderful message to young people.
Like, yes.
You know, this isn't just, I don't live this way on Sunday. I live this way every day.
Yeah.
You know, to see their parents or their pastors or the youth leaders walking by faith and living by faith all the time.
Yes.
Sends a powerful message to young people.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you mentioned about parents being like the ultimate cheerleaders in their lives, you know, to be able to go to those games and to be there and to cheer them on, whatever the results might be, and to say, yeah, it was a tough game, you lost that, but that's okay, you know. Yeah. I can see improvement. I can see you guys getting better. Your team is improving. All of that goes such a long way to helping them reach their potential.
Yeah.
It means a lot. So we encourage all kinds of healthy activities as well, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever that might be, it could be athletics, but even academics. I know that a number of our students here at the Greater Grace Christian Academy, they're going to go down to Washington, D.C. in a week or two, and they're going to be involved in, you know, a leadership program down there. That's fantastic.
Sure.
And who knows what they're going to, you know, take away from that and how that's going to help them to navigate their futures.
Yeah, there are many lessons, and I don't think the lessons end when they're 15 years old.
No.
When will they end?
Well, my lessons are still in process, in progress, even as we're speaking. You know, it's incredible. Somebody once said that how great it would be to take old heads and put them on young shoulders. But you can't do that, can you? All of the wisdom, all of the experience that we possess, we would love to just simply say, here, take this and use it now while you're young and healthy and vibrant and full of life. And yet it's just, it doesn't work that way, does it?
No, no. And, you know, when we are teaching our kids, and walking with them, you know, God ordained it this way. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, we are to sit, when we sit with them, we teach them. When we walk along the way, we teach them. When they go to bed at night, we are teaching them. So, you know, I think into their 20s, though they're not living at our house any longer, but still, we keep the relationship open and don't shut it down. But keep it open and provoke them in the faith and help them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so important, isn't it? I love the fact that the relationship that exists between the parent and their child, it doesn't end.
Yeah.
You know, and it actually can improve over time and it can get better. But we said yesterday, with Pastor Barry on the program, if you just have rules but no relationship, chances are it could lead to some form of rebellion. You've got to have that relationship. I think sometimes parents think that, you know, if I just implement the rules and if they just abide by the rules, that's all we need.
Yeah.
That doesn't cut it, does it?
No.
You've got to have a relationship. And to have a relationship, you've got to communicate. You've got to be, I like what you just said, you have to be proactive in the sense that you got to kind of stir each other up, you know, you got to provoke each other in a good way, not unto anger, but unto love and to good works. You got to get them to think. And you know, that's the challenge in today's culture with young people, but it is something that we have to undertake.
No, it takes time.
Yeah.
Let's say 18-year-old, and how are you going to spend time? What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, you might want to go to their game, you know, or you know, say, hey, can we get breakfast together on this particular day? Or can we get a meal together, go out to dinner? Let's get a pizza together.
Okay.
And sit down and say, so, and I remember, I think a long time ago, you did this too with my son-in-law and said to him, so what are the things that you're struggling with in life, you know? And I remember him telling me that it shook him. It took him off guard, you know, because he said nobody asks him that question.
Okay.
But that may be a very good question to ask someone who's 18 years old.
Oh, okay.
What are your struggles?
Okay.
What are the challenges in your life? What are the temptations that you're, you know, more vulnerable to than others? Mm-hmm. These are good questions. These are soul-searching questions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that some people might not even want to answer.
Yeah.
But if they can sense that there's a security in that relationship, a real love in that relationship, they might just open up and tell you a few things that's going on in their hearts.
Yes. Do you think that sometimes our relationship with our children is too superficial?
Yes, it can be.
Yeah.
Because we're not touching.
Where's the remote?
Yeah, you're right. What's your favorite show? Yeah, you know?
Well, or you know, be quiet.
Yeah.
Get off the grass. Stop shooting baskets. Yeah. You know, get off the phone, you know?
Yes.
Video games all the time, day and night. You know, we all have things that we could be. You know, shouting about with the world revolving around me, and my kids are disturbing me, or they're not what they should be, and I'm willing to tell them that.
Yeah.
Or time shutting down your stuff and getting into their world, you know?
Yeah.
Like, do you have a girlfriend, like, in your heart? That's soul searching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like your coach?
Yeah.
Are you satisfied with your basketball game? Why do you have a hard time in school? You know, why is there a teacher you don't like? Is there a teacher you like?
Yeah.
You know.
These are all good questions.
Are you happy? You know.
Yeah.
Are you happy? Are you, do you like going to church? Why is it you don't like, you know?
Yeah.
What could we do to change that?
Yeah.
Like put it in their court, like help them think, help them talk actually.
Right.
Now, well, let's talk for a few minutes about this football player, C.J. Stroud. Pastor Love, that you know a little bit about him.
Yeah. What I know about him is whenever he is interviewed by the media, the press, he makes his first order of business is to make sure that they know that whatever his success might be, it's all to the glory of God. And he makes that very, very clear. And I don't mean in the sense that I just want to thank the big guy or the man upstairs. No, he's very, very precise. He wants to give all the praise and all the glory and all the honor to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And whenever you have a guy like that in athletics, you know he's the real deal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, because they're not, you know, beating around the bush. They want people to know that they're playing that game at that level for the glory of God.
Now, I have a question. Okay. Are there many quarterbacks? First of all, what is a quarterback in the NFL? Like, what are they?
I think they're the leader on the offense.
They're the leader. They are trained. They are very, they've got to know the game. Mm-hmm. They are very much proactive in leading and knowing what's going on. I mean, they are like, in a word, you could say they're pretty exceptional people.
They are.
Now, why are so many of them Christians?
Mm.
Is that, and are there? It seems to me.
It seems like, yes, yes.
It seems to be, to me, in the NFL, they are not only just quarterbacks, they are like outspoken Christians.
Yep.
Now, how do you get, why is God saying anything to us about Christianity by using the NFL and saying, you know, hey, kids watching the game, and, you know, young boys love the game. They're watching it. In our country, it's a big deal. Yes. Just like in Europe, soccer is.
Yes.
So we have our game, and it's very good for our boys to hear that, you know, this testimony of this young man who is a very good quarterback, and like he has a testimony about Jesus Christ. And I don't know, there's many, there's I think Miami Dolphins, I think Josh Allen, I think Joe Burrows, I think I'm you know, and then there are the guys that might be saying it, but there are some guys that are very much in the locker room. Everybody knows. And some coaches like Ravens, John Harbaugh.
Yeah.
I mean, he's serious about it as well. So I don't know. If you're going to be interpreting life your way and you're like, you know, like you're stupid. I mean, because You walk around saying, I'm a bowl of cornflakes. That's who I am, you know.
Yeah.
And you want to live that way, you can. Mm-hmm. But will you be a quarterback in the NFL?
Probably not. Because they'll eat you alive as cornflakes.
I mean, really, come on. It's like ridiculous. And for us to reinforce these are ridiculous ideas with our young people is like a form of child abuse, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it should be outlawed. It should be addressed. It should be, you know, it should be ridiculed. It should be mocked.
Mm.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It sure is.
Yeah.
And you just hope and pray that more and more people in our culture can come to that understanding. Because, I mean, we've never seen this before in our culture. We've seen some terrible, tragic things in the past, but nothing quite like this.
Yeah. You see, it was like we have a Democratic Republic, okay. Then we had Christianity. Our country is a Christian country. So then our leaders arrogantly have led us away from Christianity. They're doing the best they can, and what they are producing is ridiculous.
Yep, that's right.
So you go down many notches when you do your own heart thing.
Yeah.
When you follow your own heart, the culture, we run the risk of losing it, and it's like absolutely to us. Yeah, and okay, so let's go back to the quarterback thing. What do you know about this young man?
Well, as I said, I don't know an awful lot about him. I just know that his Christian testimony is just what it should be.
Yeah.
What you want to hear an athlete say. And, you know, obviously they're gifted and they've been given a gift to play their particular sport at that level, and that's amazing. But when you see somebody take what's obviously a gift that they've been given and kind of put it on the altar, so to speak, and give it to God, it has a profound impact, not only on the game and their teammates, but it does on the culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love
mm-hmm.
the fact that he's speaking out so boldly for Christ, and yet he's very, very gifted and talented.
Yeah, and he has a story that his dad, mm-hmm. he was very close to him when he was 13 years old. They were the best friends. His dad got arrested. His dad had become a pastor. Then he backslid into drugs, kidnapping, other counts. He went to prison. He's in prison today. But his son has processed it as a Christian, forgiven his dad. Their relationship is restored. They're back talking, and they are encouraging each other. And forgiveness and living with God is like some decision that he had to make. And I just think that it leads to not only a good story regarding his NFL performance, but regarding raising children.
That's right.
Like children learning to forgive, children learning to love, children learning to pray for their parents and believe the best. Because he had a very rough childhood because his dad went to jail. There was room for bitterness, unforgiveness. They were nearly homeless, that I read that. And even eating food, didn't have food for dinner, but the high school gave him like food that he could take home so he could eat at night.
Amazing.
He dealt with it. He walked with God. What about that?
Yeah.
And then like helping the family. And then now he's on the other side of things, and he's giving a shout out to his dad. And saying that he loves his dad, and his dad is in prison.
Wow.
So, you turn trouble into something good, beauty, ashes into beauty, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, learn thanksgiving, and become an adult.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that, Psalm 130, verse 3 says, if you, Lord, marked iniquity, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be trusted. There's something about a trust that's developed and that grows when forgiveness is imparted to someone. In other words, as a parent, when you forgive, you really have to forgive. You can't mark it down. You can't remember it. You can't bring it up later. You can't keep a mental notebook of your children's faults and failures and shortcomings and mistakes. You got to forgive. You got to let it go. And when they see that and they know that that's happened, my parents, they have forgiven me, there's a trust that's developed. There's a relationship that's established that can grow and flourish. So that forgiveness is so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And when
mm-hmm.
that really happens between parents and children, that's the best foundation for a healthy relationship.
Yeah, very good. And even if in a marriage the dad, husband forgives his wife, the wife forgives the husband, there's forgiveness between the parents, then the kids are learning that, and they learn about forgiveness. So it's a nuclear family. It's a family with a nucleus with love and forgiveness at the center. And I wouldn't doubt, I haven't read this, but that his mother, C.J. Stroud's mother, was a Christian and a forgiving one and helped her son. And, you know, this is a beautiful story. And I'm looking forward to reading more about it. I read a little bit yesterday, but I don't have it. Mm-hmm. I don't have it all nailed down. So, yeah. But I do hear what he says to the press. And I don't think he's saying it just because, you know, it's a program or something. But he's really saying it and probably, you know, gets in a little bit of heat from it. But when you are persuaded, and there's a lot of young people listening and a lot of people following you, he has a lot of influence. He has a platform.
Yes.
He has something to say.
Absolutely.
All right. So we did a good program, Pastor Love.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. This is on parenting, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With grace and truth.
Okay.
And we need them both. And thank God that we have been so blessed, and God has given us so much grace because we've learned these principles, and we've learned that you can't even separate them. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. He was the one that came. It was full of grace and truth. And when you have grace and truth in your life, you have the foundation for just a blessed future.
Amen.
Amen. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you tuning in. There's one more Grace Hour broadcast coming up for the week tomorrow, and that'll be a little less than 24 hours from now. We hope that you'll tune in. And until tomorrow at the same time, may God bless you.